Okay. And by the way, just so that we don't all beat on PayPal fees endlessly, if you then decide to do this via the proverbial PayPal, just tell us who we have to send how much to, and we'll each cobble it together and send you a confirmation that we did it.
Sure, I haven't even gotten that far with them. I knew that that was an option to work through. I'm not sure that how much the fees are or things like that. If they're high, I'll find another way to work with them and, work everything out. And then I'll follow up with you. I'm not too worried about that.
Roger that. Okay, very good. Thank you very, very much. Alrighty. When I unkey, I'll type one more line and send you guys the email. Let's see. Paul, I actually have a question for you later on about the Raspberry Pi, voiceover IP. We'll talk about that in a minute. And let's see, I got Richard. Okay, I guess our next question, we have Noel and then Mike. Noel first, N2OEL. What's your question, Noel? KTBAR.
This is 10:03. I was thinking we should wait till next week. It wasn't a question. It was a observation that the IRL in the latest newsletter said that the FCC is re-examining RF exposure limits and standards. And I'm just curious why they would think it was important at this date, but I think this could be a topic that would take a while. I was going to suggest we put it off to next week.
And there was something from the FCC about that this week. They did do a report and order, and embedded in the report and order was effectively a notice of inquiry, which I thought was interesting. That was a bureaucratic slick act that I've not seen too often. They were requesting more input. I did see that. Well, we'll see. Maybe we should tackle that one next week. That might be a good idea. I think we should probably read up on that one a little bit, because that's not going to be an easy topic.
I agree. And 2OEL.
Yep. Absolutely. Alrighty. Let's see. What else do I need to do here? Oh, you know what? I'm going to include W2KBF on this as well. I think Carl might be interested. I'll just let you know that as well. And the mail is out. Alrighty. Let's see. Next is KD2AIK. Mike, over to you, sir. K2BAR.
KD2AIK with K2BAR. Thanks for fitting me in there. It's a question regarding the 20-meter band. At 14316, I've been getting a carrier about S9 nonstop, and I can't for the life of me figure out what it would be, and it's been going on for about a month, for about 30 days. I've checked on that frequency with a couple of other receivers to make sure it wasn't anything like an artifact or some bizarre birdie inside my transceiver, and all my receivers are picking up the same thing on 14316. I did a little research to find out what wireless devices or networks might be operating around there, and there's absolutely nothing in the 20-meter ham band that should be putting out a signal like that nonstop for that long. Does anyone have any idea what might be causing it? KD2AIK with K2BAR in the group.
What was the frequency?
It is 14316. It's a constant S9. You tune a little bit off, it goes down to an S8. You tune a little bit up, it goes off to an S8. But it's a constant S9 at 14.316 here in Dumont. And it's been constant for about 30 days.
Right now, everything I have here is kind of buried. Paul, do you have anything that you can easily set up by over by you?
WTJC.
Yeah, you do fine too, Mr. Jim.
I just dropped down there and looked back and forth across that frequency. There's nothing over here. So it must be something local.
To JK.
Don?
Same as Jim has. I just toning up and down, up and down there. I hear nothing. There might be something closer to him. Over.
AC2GI.
AC2GI. Good, Rich. How are you?
I just turned the radio on. Was listening for a few minutes. I'm over in Haledon on the Wayne border by William Patterson, and I do hear something there.
What is it?
I'm not sure, but it's right on that frequency.
Right now my desk is a mess and all my HF stuff is kind of in a disarray.
As far as other electronic devices like baby monitors or wireless networks or anything like that, there should be absolutely nothing on that frequency whatsoever. The only thing cleared there is amateur radio. So I'm wondering if somebody's had a rig keyed up for that long. I mean, I can't imagine a rig that would survive for 30 days putting out that much of a signal.
You go to a local birdie. I mean, I'm wondering if it's something related to the cable company or something of that nature that just might be... something you just have the joy of hearing because there's some leakage or just get something well positioned.
Yeah, it could be. Or what about a harmonic? Is that possible?
Absolutely. 14316, you said?
Yes, sir. 14316, and it's S9, which means it's fairly strong, but it's not local, meaning it's right around the block. I mean, some of the local hams that are close to me, I mean, they're S40, so it's close, but it's not right on top of me, whatever it is.
Interesting. Well, I don't know yet. I don't know. I'll have to get a chance to try to listen there maybe later tonight if I can clear enough of my desk off. But right now I'm trying to get ready to evaluate three of these WRT54GSs that I just bought. Want to make sure that they're lickety-split and fine, you know?
Yeah, QSL. I would imagine you probably have a mobile transceiver. If you have one that tunes to the 20-meter band, if you're ever anywhere near Dumont or New Milford or Bergenfield, just put on 14316, and you'll certainly pick it up. I can't for the life of me figure out what it is.
Well, I do have such a mobile thing that I can throw in my vehicle. How close are you to the cable TV tower?
You mean the Alpine Tower or the one that's by the cable cut in, I guess it's Dumont?
The latter.
I can see it from my house. I can see the light. Actually, I'm looking right out my bedroom window and I can see the light flashing now. So I'm going to say about half a mile.
Okay. I'm a lot closer. Probably a quarter mile or less. from there, but okay. It's just about 1,200 feet, I would think, from there. It's just about a quarter mile. But anyway, well, have to take a look at that. See if it pops up over there. But that right now is going to have to wait a little bit because I'm running out of things I can do simultaneously, you know?
At QSL, I just figured I'd put that out there. I thought maybe somebody would have a quick answer. Oh, that's, this, that, or the other thing. But I'm ready to put a mobile in and go hunting.
Well, you know, what's his name? The fellow who actually works at the cable TV site over there, is it Bob? O-X, not O-X-U. I can't remember what his call sign is, but we should probably check with him, too. That might be interesting next time I catch him on this repeater.
QSL. Anyway, thanks for fitting me in there. It doesn't look like there's any quick answers, but eventually I'll get to the bottom of it.
I know we're always looking for quick answers, and sometimes you actually have to just dig in and do the research. Hi. All righty, very good. Paul, I wanted to check with you. You have one of these WRT 54Gs, if I recall. Have you looked at how they do both DMZ and also how they there's a way to set up a service by reserving it in some respects. I was thinking that what I don't understand in the way you set up services is what happens if somebody moves around in the Wi-Fi space or in the IP space. How do you associate a given IP to an address? I guess we could do this, but it's not clear to me. I don't know how we can with this reserve addresses, but maybe we can. Right now, we've been running DMZ for everything, which is probably not very smart, but that's a whole other matter. I'm going to try turning off the DMZ for mine and see how that works, and go from there. But I was able to get essentially a Telnet server going by taking a terminal program and setting it up and at a given known address, and I was able to connect to it, type to it from another PC, so that worked pretty well. This year I used HyperTerminal in answer mode as my terminal, as my Telnet server, and that worked okay.
The DMZ is just basically another layer of protection, just stopping someone jumping in on you. I think what you're probably, are you looking DMZ or are you looking DHCP?
Well, I'm running both. I'm running DMZ and DHCP. So I'm a little confused to how the relationship works. I've never actually used DMZ before this for anything.
Yeah, you're basically just translating the IPs. Basically say, here is my little sandbox, I'll let you in, I'll give you an IP on it. I'll control who's coming in, who's coming out. I think your bigger question, which is probably TTP, how that actually works. Basically, a lot of that's more driven at the MAC level. When something comes in, it'll basically request an IP address. The TTP server will serve it up. You can basically lock that to basically say, if I give you that IP address or your MAC address, you can have that address for like 3 months, and I won't take it away from you for 3 months unless I really need it. And if someone else comes in, I'll give them another one. Or basically, you can just go static, which is basically I say, I want this IP is mine, and I will use this no matter what net I'm on. That's more, you know, I'll probably, when I start putting this together, things like the PBX servers like that, basically give them static to basically lock them down to a more concrete level.
Yeah, I think what we're going to have to do is, at least just initially, I know I can set the range for DHCP addressing. That's what it assigns, so I can essentially, in the DHCP pool, not include a set of addresses that we reserve for things like VoIP and other things that we want to keep in static assignments and be done with it. But I think over time we're going to have to figure out a way to make DHCP assignments for people's devices and then somehow associate their MAC addresses with what service we want to give them, or services we want to give them, and figure out how to deal with that. Anyway, pardon me, I'm not as tired as I sound, but anyway, do you have one node now, or do you have multiple?
I'm actually back down to zero mode. I found out what my issue was. When I actually asked the guy what version it was, he read the label wrong. Where he read version 3, he actually sent me a version 6.
Ah, so you have no nodes coming right now, right?
Yeah, which is why I'm back to eBay.
Okay. I got you. What do you call it? Well, if you're going to be down at the at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow, you can figure out your Pi issue, because I have a couple of Pi SD cards that we can clone off for you, and if need be, I've got a current build and I've got an older build, both. So you have the 512, you have the new 512 RAM, or do you have the 256? I have one of each.
I think it's the 512. I did reflash it. At the moment, I'm just fighting to get it actually up on file. I put a new Wi-Fi card in. I'm just trying to get that picked up. But yeah. At this point, you know, even with these ones, if I just, you know, hardwire in, you know, I don't actually have to get all the mesh for you guys, or busy stuff to set, you know, the server up. Still, I use the talk. But, you know, we can just go hardwire on that side of it. But hopefully, probably will not make it tomorrow, just because I got out tonight, and I think I've got a fairly sick one. But I'll see what I can switch.
Hey, tomorrow night, there's a business meeting, I think at 7:30, I think they do that, till about 8. The guys get there ridiculously early. I'm going to try to get out from my work day tomorrow afternoon fairly early, get things done, and then pack up my stuff and have it ready to go. And then, in the evening, I'll do bench work before the business meeting, and I think I'm going to do field work after. I think that's what we're going to probably do. If I get extra antennas, great. If I don't, then I'm just going to use the gain verticals I have and other goodies like that. We'll set up something outside the community center. You know, maybe on like a 10 or 15 foot pole, just strap it up on a pole, and I've got those 4.5 foot sections. You can just do that and run it on a battery or vehicle, whatever. Then there's plenty of space there that's really, really flat along there between the community center and the high school. We can do some range testing that would be probably useful. It's somewhat idealized, but that's okay. We can get that done. Gary, what do you think?
KD2DDK. Yeah, I've driven around with the the box bungee cord to the roof, as you know.
Yeah.
I'm up for going as far as we can go.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a means for doing this on a pole. At least get it 15 feet in the air or so. Bring like four poles and be able to just bungee cord it to the fence or something outside the community center along the road there. And then we can run one down the other length. We just run down the road, basically, by the high school. I think that'll be just fine. That'll be just fine. We'll just see how it all works. I'll tell you, I'm definitely bringing the bidirectional amplifier and having that all set up. I've got a little box here, a waterproof box, a NEMA plastic box. I bought it at Home Depot or Lowe's, but basically they're a little expensive when you buy them new, but a large size NEMA box. It's about 18 inches square and about 6 inches deep, and that's plenty of room for the router and all the associated goodies, so I'm going to start mounting that stuff in there tomorrow and get an end. I got to see if I have an end bulkhead connector. What I'm really looking for is if I have an end double male bulkhead connector. I might have one in my junk box. I'm going to go looking after the net while I'm testing things, so we'll see.
How are you, DJC?
Yes, sir.
I have a slew of end connectors in the basement. I'll look and see what I have.
Okie doke. Yeah, what I'm looking for, just so you know, is either an end barrel or an end double male or an end double male or a male female, through connector that I can, put on a bulkhead. That would be the ideal,
Take a look, Howard.
That would be certainly lovely, sir. Thank you very much. I'll be lurking here for quite a while tonight. I've made sure I charge up radios. The worst case is I can run a short pigtail to the radio or from the transceiver, but, ideally, just mount the antenna right on top of the box and be done with it. But it's a plastic box, so there's no great compelling need to do that. And maybe that's overwhelming. I need to get the NRF in and out of the box, one way or the other. That's a given. Either that or if I could, an SMA bulkhead's, again, not a smart move because, again, it's too small. I was actually looking at N double females, SMA double females. I couldn't find any. But that's the other approach is to use an SMA double female and put that on the small hole and then just a small, like a 6-inch or 1-foot pigtail to the actual antenna, mount to the pole, and mount the antenna and the waterproof box to the same pole and be done with it. I'm going to listen here. Make a head call. Anybody else have anything else for the net? This is K2BAR. Very good. Paul, just real quick before I go, you were able to reflash and get your Raspberry Pi up and working.
Yeah, so at the moment I'm just configuring up network, and then I'll start playing about it.
Yeah, could you do me a small favor and tell me what I need to do to get the Ethernet to be the console? Basically, the video and the USB keyboard mouse kind of thing. If I want to just tell that into the box and run CLI, what's involved in doing that?
I think if you configure up the telnet so that, in case you plug it in, let it boot up, go in, configure up telnet, get the port running. At that point, then, I think you can just
go back to the pseudo to the Raspi config, and I think if boot option is there, you should be able to basically say, don't boot the GUI. So it'll just basically boot straight up, bring all the services up, and boot the command line there.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the other is to, I understand there's also a VNC server, boot that, and that way you do get the GUI, but across the internet, you know, across the Ethernet interface, that'd be fine too.
Yeah, I don't really know how they've done it on this one. I haven't really played about with it. Most boxes, like most PC, even the older ones, and the, you know, a lot of the Unix boxes will detect on the serial port if they actually have something connected. I've never really got right to playing about with how that works with the newer motherboards, how they detect through USB.
Well, I tried plugging into, plugging it into a network, knowing what the IP would be, and connecting to it, and nothing happened. So clearly there's no default or auto-configured Telnet console server, you know?
The other thing you need to check on that is just that you have entry in your routing table to take you back out the cable, or back out the network, and you're not just defaulting back to the localhost or the zero or the loopback.
Well, that could be. That could be. But it wasn't smart enough to figure that out all by itself, that's for sure. Clearly it needed a little more help. All right, gentlemen, time for a quick health break. Refill the mug, and I'll be back up here for testing. I'll drop my call when I come back up just to make anybody who cares aware. I want to thank everybody for running a great net tonight. We had a good set of questions, all sorts of interesting topics, and a good topic already on tap for next week. We'll see you all soon. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club producer and repeater, and we'll see you either at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow or next week at one of the various... Oh, one point, the Barra meeting is Sunday. Barra meeting is Sunday at 7:30 at the Washington Township Community Center or Municipal Building. People gather at 7 o'clock. Don't be a stranger. We'll see people on Sunday. 7:30 and be well. W2TTT.
KD2CMZ disconnected.